for Lyman Ag Supply in Lyman, Iowa, and the Family Vision Center here in Atlantic. This is Bob Evensy, along with Adam Arnold, a conservation officer for Page and Montgomery Counties, on this morning's Conservation Report. Good morning and welcome back, Adam.
Good morning.
Been a while since we've had you on the air, and we've got a lot of things to talk about today.
Of course, you know, the fall is always such an exciting time in the outdoor world. There's so many things going on and so many different activities folks are involved with, so always something interesting.
You bet. So. Just a moment in history, 77 years ago last Saturday was the big blizzard of 1940 that blew through, killed about 150 people or so in the Midwest, including a bunch of duck hunters on the Mississippi River. They got just flat froze to death, got stuck on the islands, and that was 77 years ago that that happened. Okay, question has arisen. Are people seeing bobcats around? Are they seeing hallucinations or what?
Yeah, no, you know, bobcats have made a pretty remarkable comeback, in the, especially the southern part of the state here. You get look at the southern three, four tiers of counties, and just real strong numbers. You know, of course, as you said, I'm from Page and Montgomery County, so I'm further south yet, and seeing bobcats is, I wouldn't say just a weekly event by any means, but I certainly see a good number throughout the year running around doing my checking of areas and so forth, checking hunters and stuff. And of course, it is fur harvester season now, so I'm starting to check bobcats for folks that have been lucky enough to trap one. And of course, you know, it's still a low limit. They're only allowed one bobcat on their fur harvester license at this time. And the counties that are open, you get much further north of here and you get into counties that are closed. So always encourage folks, if they're thinking that's something they want to go after, or if they got other traps set and incidentally catch one, especially, you know, further and further north, definitely need to check and make sure the county you're in is open for harvest on those, because you may need to turn it loose.
You bet. Let's talk a little bit about the pheasant and quail season. A little slow going, but we've had some out-of-staters come in.
Yeah, you know, a combination of things this year I think's hurting us a little bit. And one, you know, unfortunately we had some kind of nasty weather there, and that slowed down the harvest of the crops. And so when pheasant season opened, I'd have to look at the numbers, but I would have guessed at least 50% of the crops probably still in. So a lot of places for them to hide and not so many places to hunt when things are still like that. So I think it's going to pick up here a little bit. We get a little colder weather, and most of the crops coming out now is going to open up a lot more room for the hunters and the pheasants to be pursued. So, but certainly seeing some similar numbers probably to last year. I can say honestly, most of the folks that I've checked in the field probably have at least a handful of pheasants, and most of them have a quail or two apiece too. So, you know, it's encouraging. I don't know that our numbers are as strong as we would like, but you know, I know they'll keep coming back in the future, and they're so weather dependent. Ground nesting birds like that, you know, you get a cold rain, you get late snow, too much snow throughout the winter, it just all can play havoc on them having a good successful reproductive season every year. So they're a high turnover species, especially the quail.
You bet. With the corn being in the field, you can't walk the cornfields anymore. The rows are too close together, and the plants are too close together. So that was about the only thing the pheasants had. Now, with the corn being out, then they've got to go looking for a place to live, and there's not too many.
Well, it just depends on where you're at. You know, I still see a good number of CRP fields out there, and, you know, there's some a good number of farms that have the CRP buffer, you know, around the fields where they've done so many feet, 60 or 120 feet, whatever it is, and that's all good. And of course, pheasants like terraces. You know, there's always some thick cover on terraces for them to hide on, and so definitely, you know, a lot of folks, even out-of-staters, coming in.
You bet. Let's shift gears and get 4 feet on the ground and talk about upcoming deer season. Well, I guess we're into the archery season, and number one, we got to talk to people about safety, particularly in the archery guys. They're having problems.
Yeah, there's in the last week or two, we've had a few instances across the state where folks are, for whatever reason, either having equipment failures or not wearing their safety harnesses, and we've had two or three now that have fallen out of their tree stands. And you know, when you're looking at a distance of 15 to 20 feet, doesn't sound like a whole lot until you're sitting up there and you look down. That's quite a ways, and you can, you know, severely injure yourself, if not kill yourself, when you make a fall like that. So definitely strong encourage to folks to inspect all your equipment. You know, if you leave it out all year, you need to check those straps, make sure they're still good. You know, always use something that's certified by the Tree Stand Manufacturer Association or one of the other companies that does those certifications to make sure it's safe. Make sure your harness is in good condition and make sure you wear the thing. Yeah, I mean, it doesn't really do you any good if you don't. You know, a lot of times I have guys tell me they don't put their harness on until they get up in the stand, but you can fall while you're climbing in. You know, your boots might be wet. It's dark. You're cold when you're getting out. If you don't have that harness on and you're not strapped into something, it's a potentially dangerous situation. So. Yeah.
Falling 20 feet gives you time to think about it on the way down.
Yeah, in just a brief moment. So, but I'm sure it would feel like an eternity till you hit the ground, unfortunately. So, okay.
As far as deer hunting is concerned, a lot of interest in the change coming up on handgun-type ammo being good for rifle use with a lot of limitations.
Yeah, and of course, that's a new thing this year, and so I'd always encourage folks every year, whether we have a lot of new things or not, you know, to always pick up a copy of the regulations. We print hundreds and thousands of copies of these things. They're available to all your licensed vendors. Or, of course, you can. Everybody's got their smartphone. You can download that on your smartphone and look at it right in the field. I always keep a copy on my work phone just to have a quick reference when somebody asks me questions and I'm not around my magazine style that I keep. But, yeah, if you know, encourage folks to really look at page 31. Getting lots of questions about the straight wall rifle cartridges. And page 31 of your hunting regs are going to really spell that out for you. It tells you exactly what calibers you can use. And then there's even some calibers, if it's not listed there, if they meet certain measurements, it may be allowed as well. Some of those oddball straight wall cartridges that are still out there. Just encourage folks to really look at that and not mistake some of these firearms that might look like a straight wall cartridge firearm for one that isn't. You know, there's several things that still shoot bottleneck cartridges that kind of look more antique, and those aren't allowed. It's got to be that straight wall cartridge. Mm-hmm. So whole list on page 31 of your regulations. Definitely want to check that out before you head out and buy a new gun.
What was the theory behind bringing it up and legalizing it?
Well, so far as the history on that, I couldn't tell you a whole lot on it. You know, I would assume it's just to provide more opportunity. You know, another method to take and another opportunity. We already allowed the use of these cartridges were allowed in a handgun.
Mm-hmm.
So really all that's been changed is it's allowed now in the rifle form as well. So
okay. really no difference then.
Not a whole lot. Same cartridges pretty much already allowed. Just a little addition to the type of gun. And that's for the shotgun one and two seasons. And was also allowed during the youth and disabled, but that season's behind us now. So,
mm-hmm. Okay, so the muzzle loading system, that is a completely different deal.
Yeah, that gets into a different set of regulations, yep. So.
Yeah, all right. People tend to forget or maybe don't want to own up to the fact they killed a deer, and they really need to do that, and it's, the law requires you to phone in or report them.
Yeah, absolutely. Every year it seems like we try to remind folks, and certainly, again, stuff you'll see in your regulations or right on your deer license for that fact that, you know, every animal you harvest, deer or turkey in the state of Iowa, has to be called in and harvest reported is what we call, or some people might call it registering your harvest. And that's easy to do. You know, there's several ways to do it. You can do it right off the phone number that's on your license. You can go home and do it off your computer or your smartphone. If you have the internet capabilities, you can go to our website and do it. Or you could even take it to a licensed vendor, like a place you'd purchase your license, and I believe they can do it there as well. I don't have very many people take that option because it's so much easier to just do it right off your phone to call it in.
Mm-hmm.
But anytime you harvest deer or turkey, they have to be called in and registered by midnight the day following the harvest. So, for instance, if we shot a deer today, archery season on Friday, we would need to register it by tomorrow night at midnight, Saturday night at midnight. So midnight the following day harvest. So
interesting thing happened in a county adjacent to us, and I won't say which one it was, but a guy was in visiting the parents, decided he would like to shoot a deer, so he took his bow and went out and shot a deer and got a nice buck, and then he posted it on Facebook, and guess what? The game warden happened to be watching Facebook, and checked on him and said, "Where's your license?" He said, "Well, I don't have a license."
Yeah.
Kind of a dumb criminal.
Well, you never know. Folks get a little carried away sometimes, and it's just like everything. You know, there's always somebody out there trying to help us out and give us good information on stuff, and that's stuff that we definitely have to have. I mean, you know, we're spread pretty thin. It's no secret. If you look at a map of our contacts, most of us in southern Iowa have two whole counties to ourselves, and that's a lot of area to be responsible for, and it's hard to hard to cover it all at once sometimes. So
you need some extra eyes and ears, there's no doubt about
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely, yeah.
Let's go back into the air and talk about waterfowl. Nothing much has been going on, but I bet with this weather changing in this coming week, we're going to see some geese start moving.
Yeah, I would think that, you know, pretty soon here, especially once the northern areas get a little more snow, you know, up in the Dakotas and Minnesota and everything get some heavier snow, that we should start seeing some good pushes of birds. And you know, if you look at some of our traditional waterfowl areas, of course, in this part of the state, I think of Riverton is probably the closest big waterfowl area. And they've had some good flushes of birds this year so far. And so folks are definitely out pursuing them. There are some geese around. It's just a matter of doing your homework right now. But as soon as that nastier weather starts getting here and everything gets covered up, you know, the fields and everything, there'll be a lot more birds coming through, I would say. So
yeah.
Still some season left here to get some good hunting in. And,
you bet.
And all kinds of stuff, so.
Saw a little flock of geese on my way out the radio station yesterday, and I'm sure they were the locals, but it kind of puts you into the mind that things are going to be happening.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's an exciting time of year. You know, the leaves are all gone, and it's getting cold in the evenings, and who knows? Maybe someday soon we'll be ice fishing. So.
Okay. You were talking about some extra eyes and ears, and that's where the TIP program, Turn-In Poacher program, comes in.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd always encourage folks to, you know, if you're in the field a lot, and you know the areas you're in, to look up your local conservation officer number and put it right in your phone. A direct call to us is always the best way to report something. But there's sometimes you might not be able to get a hold of us. Maybe one of us is on a day off, or we're in a place where cell phone reception isn't the best, which is happens a lot to me in my area because it's so rural. But you know, you can always call in. We have a TIP phone number, and that's 1-800-532-2020. It's 1-800-532-2020, and that TIP number allows you to make a report of a violation. You can stay completely anonymous, and it also makes you eligible if with a successful case is made, that you may be eligible for some kind of reward there, a monetary reward. And it just depends on the case. Everybody always wants to know what kind of reward is it going to be, and it really just depends on the case. Everyone's a little bit different, and it depends on how many convictions and so forth come out of that. But yeah, it is. It's absolutely important. You know, things as simple as just getting a license plate off a vehicle can be a huge deal when it comes to catching somebody who is poaching or you know, sure, taking stuff legally. And a lot of times people are like, well, it's just a deer, it's just a turkey. But you know, those animals belong to the people of the state.
That's right. And, they're ours.
You know, if they're not doing it right, it's, you know, they're stealing. You know, they're essentially stealing from folks and taking opportunity from folks who are the legal hunters, who have paid the right fees and who do things legally. So we certainly always ask for people to give us that information, and you know, we'll always work with folks to try to make good cases and stop people from doing stuff they shouldn't be doing.
Yeah. So. A lot of landowners do not like poachers and trespassers in particular, so it screws up the guy doing it legitimate. He may not get permission sometime for something that was not his fault at all.
Well, and hey, absolutely right, Bob. You know, as you'll hear from in many things, the actions of a few people can really affect the lives of many, you know, and that does happen. Folks, you know, doing stuff the wrong way can really tarnish hunting and give it a bad name. That's why we call it poaching. We don't call it hunting when they're doing stuff like that, but
yeah,
still stuff that we want to make sure that we keep a handle on.
Okay. Looking ahead, the Cass County Conservation Board having a decorate in a natural way for Christmas decoration from nature. It'll be at the Atlantic Library on December 2nd, 12:30. It's free. All ages are welcome, and time to have a little fun. For Lyman Ag Supply and the Family Vision Center, this has been Bob Evensy, along with Adam Arnold, the conservation officer for Page and Montgomery counties, on this morning's Conservation Report.